The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Welcome those of you who are joining us from Summerside. Welcome those of you who are joining us from Chelsea Green. It's good to have you here. My name is Devin, and I'm the lead pastor at Summerside. Now, I want to start off by asking you a question about kind of where you're at right now. Are you in the valley or are you on the mountaintop? You know, sometimes if we're being brutally honest, life just sucks. Sometimes you are beaten down. You are facing discouragement. There is very real financial trouble. There is a health scare or a diagnosis that has you nervous about the future. Sometimes you experience job loss, mounting debt, loneliness and isolation. Like sometimes life feels like you're living in a country western song, right? And everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. Sometimes you're just in the valley. And if that's you, you need the good news of Jesus. You need the gospel wisely applied to your life, reminding you that your identity, your security, that your hope is not in temporal things, but is in fact secure in Christ. If you're in the valley, you need to know and be reminded of the gospel, that because of what Jesus has done for us through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, you are never alone, and God is not absent in the valley, but he is pursuing you and offering you hope. If you're in the valley, what you need most is the gospel. But what about if you're on the mountaintop? What if life is going strangely well right now? What if there are areas or aspects of your life in which you're actually killing it? Like you are getting the most out of life. You are succeeding. Your victories are mounting. People are recognizing your success in specific areas. Sometimes we live in the valley, and sometimes we experience moments in which we're actually on the mountaintop. Those seasons where we're succeeding. Those seasons where everything is coming up roses. You know, that can actually present us with a challenge. Because oftentimes, for those inside the church, and even those who are outside the church, our success or the blessings of God in our life, those things in which we feel like we're killing it, those things that we are proud of, can actually lead us to think that we're somehow independent of God. It can lead us to think that we don't actually need him or that we've accomplished this on our own. There is a risk, let me be clear, of being in the valley of despair, discouragement, fear, hopelessness. But do you know that there's also a risk in being on the mountaintop? A risk of thinking that you have done it on your own. A risk of pride. A danger of forgetfulness of God and his goodness. There's always a temptation on the mountaintop to feel like we've somehow accomplished it on our own. When you hit that next kind of income bracket, when you finish that degree, when you finally get somebody to marry you, when God blesses you with children, when you succeed and your business takes off and you're able to expand and hire more people and you're kind of enjoying the fruits of your labor, there is very real risk on the mountaintop. And oftentimes what we tend to do is to focus on people who are walking through the valley and who are suffering, and that is good and that is right. But at the same time, we have to remember that there's also a risk of experiencing that mountaintop. And today what we're going to do is we are going to discuss And we're going to talk about success, about those moments or those areas in life in which you are on the mountaintop. And how rather than allowing that success to somehow lead your heart and your affections and your dependence away from God, how you can actually grow on the mountaintop. How you can use God's evident blessing in your life as the means by which, or as a means by which, you grow closer to God and deeper in your dependence to Him. We're going to talk about what to do on the mountaintop. And how you can keep on growing. Now, don't check out on me here. Because maybe you're sitting at home and you're thinking, are you kidding me, Devin? Mountaintop and the dangers and the risks of being on the mountaintop? Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I would love to have the opportunity to face that temptation. Because right now, life is brutal. Right now, I live in the valley, Devin, and I have a little house down there with a mailbox and a welcome mat, and there's no sun, but I'm pretty darn comfortable down there. Right? Maybe that's you. Don't check out on me. Because even though you may be sitting there and thinking, my life is all about being in the valley and the hardships and the discouragement, I want you to hold on for a second. Do you recognize that everything good in your life, every blessing that you have received, the very breath in your lungs is a gift from God. You have received far more than you probably know. So even if you feel like you're a valley dweller, if you're cautious, if you slow down, if you evaluate all that God has blessed you with, you will recognize that in small ways and in big ways, there are areas of life, these little mountaintop experiences that you can use to still grow and to still grow deeper in your dependence on God. Now, we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 18 down to the end of the chapter. You have 1 Samuel, and then we get to 2 Samuel. And the story of David continues through both. And our series has been looking at this guy called King David. And let me just summarize a couple hundred years of history so you understand the context here. Remember how God's people, the nation of Israel, were in Egypt? They were slaves, and then God sent Moses to deliver them, and God led them up out of the Red Sea and into the wilderness. God defeated their enemies, and He led them for 40 years in the wilderness. They come up to the land. They look around the land, and it's an occupied land, and the people there are evil, and they are strong, and they are battle-hardened. But God kind of leads them into the land, and they begin to find some measure of success. We get to the time of the judges. Israel is struggling to follow God and to claim the promises that God has made to her. And eventually the people look around at all the nations around them and they say, we want a king. Because every other nation has a king and we don't have kings. Meanwhile, God has already taught His people and told them that He was their king. And that they were a unique people for His possession. A unique nation that was going to represent His light to the nations around them. But Israel is sitting there, and instead of saying, we are God's unique people, distinct from the world around us, and God is our king, they say, no, we want to be just like the nations around us. So we want a physical, earthly king. God says, okay, go ahead. So Israel looks around, and they pick the most impressive specimen that they can. They pick a guy named Saul. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's got everything, right? Turns out he's a dud. Right? He's petulant. He's immature. He's insecure. He has a few good years, but then he sins grievously and God removes the kingship from him. And God sends Samuel, his prophet, his holy man, to go and anoint a future king, a king after his own heart, God's own heart. So Samuel comes and he anoints David, an unlikely king. He's the youngest in his family. He's just a shepherd. But David finds success because God is with him. and David is anointed as the future king of Israel. Eventually he meets Goliath, the giant, in battle, and he kills the giant through his faith in God's power working through him and with him, through a stone in a sling. And David's fame begins to spread throughout the nation. I mean, this guy just killed our greatest enemy. And people are applauding him. And people are writing songs to him. And Saul is so insecure about all of this. And so Saul begins to persecute and try to kill David. But Saul's son, Jonathan, his buddy, helps him out. And David is always kind of one step ahead of Saul. And this goes on for years. David is waiting to take the throne. And he has opportunities to kill Saul, which in that day and age would have been the expected course of action. David's the future king. You kill the king if you want the throne. Might is right. But no, David doesn't choose revenge. He waits for God's timing. And eventually Saul and his son Jonathan are killed in battle, and then David steps into his role as king. The waiting is over. His dreams have been realized. His hopes have been fulfilled. David is king. And then we get to the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this, we're going to come back to this. We're actually going to close our series on David on the first part of chapter 7 here in 2 Samuel. Because amazingly, not only is David king, but God himself promises David something incredible. That his kingship, his line, is going to endure forever. Think about that as a mountaintop experience. For decades, David has been waiting for this moment, and he steps into this new position as king. He's finally there, and then God shows up and says, hey, guess what? Your line is going to endure forever. Amazing mountaintop experience. Then, later on in chapter 8, David's victories begin. So he's conquering his enemies. He's finding success in battle. Everything is coming up in for David's favor. You know, everything is coming out just as David had wished. He is now the king. God has made a covenant with him. His enemies are being subdued. He is seeking peace and prosperity for his people. He is conquering new lands. Everything is right how David wants it to be. And David is on the mountaintop. And right here, jammed in this mountaintop experience, we see this prayer that David offers to God. And as we read through this prayer, we are going to see three very simple ways that you can continue to grow on the mountaintop. When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Don't stop growing, pursuing Christ, and walking in obedience to him. Now let's read the passage and see the first one that we find. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. This is right after all the promises that God has made to David about his line. Then King David went in and he sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if it were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord, it is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant." Now stop there. On the mountaintop, don't stop. How? By continuing in humility. On the mountaintop, don't stop. Continue in humility. If you want to grow on the mountaintop, in those experiences, in those seasons, in those areas of life where God's blessings are evident and you're feeling successful, continue in humility. I mean, look at the words here that David offers up in prayer to God. Look at the first one, verse 18. Who am I? And then he calls him Sovereign Lord. Who am I and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Later on, verse 19, Sovereign Lord, this is all too much, he says. And this is for a mere human? Verse 21, you have done this great thing. He's continuing in humility. I mean, think about it. David could easily have thought in his mind, convinced himself that this incredible place that he was at in this season of his life was all due to his actions. I mean, think about it. David could have prayed, God, I don't blame you for using me and for blessing me. I mean, I was anointed. You must have saw something good in me, right, God? I was faithful. I was brave, God. I fought Goliath and I defeated the giant. Wow. And God, I had the chance to take revenge so many times, but I didn't. I was pure. I let Saul live. And over this period, God, I've written scripture too, right? Because he wrote psalms and songs to God. He could have said, I was wise and I was conniving and I was careful politically and militarily, right? He could have easily have stolen the credit for this mountaintop experience for himself, but he doesn't do that. He continues in humility. Who am I? Look what you have done. He's continuing in humility. He's humble, recognizing that everything that he has comes from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Paul says, you have to walk in humility. You have to continue down that path because everything that you have accomplished is made possible by God's blessing and grace in your life. Everything good in your life, everything good in your life is a gift from God. So why do you boast, Paul says, like you didn't receive it? It doesn't matter how hard you've worked or what you've overcome. I mean, obviously we applaud that and we encourage that and hard work is part of what God calls us to. But at the end of the day, every breath in your lungs, every neural connection, every ounce of motivation that you have ever exhibited in your life is a gift from God. The circumstances of your life that have molded and shaped you into the type of individual that can maybe overcome obstacles. That's all God's doing. Continue in humility. Don't let pride steal the opportunity that the mountaintop has for you to continue walking with genuine, authentic humility. So what about you? Those areas where you succeed, have you taken that praise and the compliments and the affirmations and really stolen that for yourself? Has that become your identity? And do you slip those into conversations, hoping that other people don't notice your desperate attempts to somehow garner favor with them or impress them? Look at those areas in your life in which you would say that you are killing it. Do you recognize that it is all by God's grace? Continue in humility. When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Continue in humility. Now look back down at the text. I'm going to read 22 to 24 and then give you the second way to grow on the mountaintop. 22, David says this: "How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. As we have heard with our own ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out the nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever. And you, Lord, have become their God." If you want to continue to grow in the mountain, when you're up on that mountaintop experiencing God's blessing, you continue in humility. And secondly, be consistent in worship. Be consistent in worship. You see, humility is important. Because humility takes your eyes off of yourself, your own accomplishments, your own little world and dominion, and it places your eyes on the reality that God is glorious and infinite and majestic and beautiful, and everything we have comes from Him. And if we walk, and as we walk in humility, that leads then in turn to worship. When we see God for all that He is, when we recognize all that He's done for us, that leads us to worship and to consistent worship. And that worship, in turn, leads back to humility. Humility and worship, like two pedals on a bicycle, causing us to shift our focus from self to our Savior. To revel in not our own accomplishments, but God and His glory. When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Continue in humility and be consistent in worship. Think about His words here. Look at the worship dripping from His heart and His mouth. He starts off with saying, "How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you." He's on that mountaintop, and He is using that not to look down on other people, not to stare at His own accomplishments, but to look at the face of God and be amazed and overwhelmed and to worship and to praise God for all that He's done. He's walking and continuing in humility, and He's being consistent in His worship. "There is no one like you. There is no God but you. How great you are, God." You know, again, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13 kind of echoes this sentiment. He says this. He said, "I'm not saying or talking about this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need in the valley, and I know what it is to have plenty, that mountaintop. And I have learned," he says, "the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And here's the secret: "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." What's he saying here? He says the secret to navigating through those seasons in the valley, or those seasons on the mountaintop, those seasons of plenty, or those seasons of much and rich blessings, the secret is this: His union, His identity in Christ, it is His worship. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Be consistent in your worship. You know, here's how I unfortunately see this play out all too often. Sometimes somebody will reach out, email me, give me a call about a struggle in their life. And this is maybe somebody that we don't see that often, or somebody new to the church, and we do that. And so I meet with them and they share their struggle. They're in the valley through and through. And they're desperate. And they're hurting. And they're struggling. And then they come for a little while, which is good. But sometimes the situation resolves itself. Maybe the test comes back negative. Maybe the relationship is restored. Maybe the individual finds a new job. And all too often, they disappear. You know, if that's you, and right now you're tuning in or you're watching this because you are struggling and you are hurting and you are down in the valley, what's going to happen if God actually answers your prayers? What is going to happen if God, in His generous grace, decides to lead you through this season and provide for you exactly like how you want? Are you still going to come back to Him? Are you still going to pursue Him? Are you still going to recognize that you need Him? Or are you going to take His gift and run? What if God has led you? What if God is using this valley experience in your life to teach you your dependence on Him? What's going to happen if God leads you out of this valley and plants you on the mountaintop? Are you going to forget about Him and move on? Or will you be consistent in your worship? When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Be consistent in worship. Now, let me read to you 25 to 29, and we'll look at the third way that we can grow on the mountaintop. The writer says this. David said this. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise that you have made concerning your servant in this house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house your servant David will be established in your sight. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forevermore. Now we have talked about the risks of the mountaintop. You know, that they can lead us to feel like we're independent, or that we don't need God, or that we climbed here and we got here on our own. And that's why we need to continue in humility. That's why we need to be consistent in worship. But there's risks on the mountaintop, sure. But there's also an opportunity. And the opportunity is this: to celebrate God's goodness. To celebrate God's goodness. When you're on the mountaintop, celebrate all that God has done. Enjoy His gifts. Be thankful, appreciative. Take a moment to enjoy it and to savor it. It is a gift from God. It's okay to enjoy it. David here is taking a moment in this prayer to reflect on all that God has accomplished and all that God has promised. He is up on that mountaintop and he is taking a moment to smell the roses. You know, sometimes when God blesses us, it's easy to forget, to think that we've accomplished it, but maybe it's also easy to forget to actually take a moment and just enjoy it. If you are great at something, if you have accomplished something, if you set goals and you knock them out of the park, When you finish that degree, when you expand the business, whatever it is that you experience, if you have done it, recognizing that it's all God's doing and you're thankful and you're walking, you're continuing to be humble, and you're being consistent in your worship, it's okay to take a moment just to enjoy what God has provided for you, to be appreciative and to celebrate His goodness. Let the gifts that God has given you lead you to a deeper sense of appreciation and gratitude for the giver Himself. God's blessings are not merely, you know, an opportunity for temptation. Watch out that you don't turn it into an idol. No, it's an opportunity just to enjoy the blessing, the grace, and the goodness of the gift giver Himself. You see, being in the valley, you may face certain temptations of despair, of anger, of fear, and of frustration. And what you need there is the gospel. But if you're on the mountaintop and things are going well, and there are areas of your life in which you are succeeding, what you need is the gospel. To continue in humility, to be consistent in your worship, to celebrate God's goodness. You know, I can remember a number of years ago what it was like when Heather and I were in a season in which we were in the valley. We were dirt poor. I was working a job that I hated. There were no ministry prospects, no opportunities that I could see to be a pastor, what I knew that God was calling me to do. I didn't feel like I'd ever get a decent education. I remember thinking that we would never own a home, because how? How could I possibly ever afford something like that? I remember feeling like an abject failure as a husband that I couldn't provide. We struggled through 7 or 8 years of infertility. And it seemed like we were in that valley for a long time. But God, in His grace, was working in my heart and in Heather's heart during that time. And I can remember seasons, nights, praying together, weeping together, weeping alone, frustrated, calling out to God, asking Him why. Why this valley season? And by God's grace, the answer that we received came in almost clear as a bell. If we have Jesus, we have enough. If we have Jesus, we have everything that we need. And I'm thankful for that season. You know, and God doesn't always do this, right? It's not like you're in the valley and all you need to do is learn a lesson, then God will bless you. No, that's not how it works. God in His grace has blessed Heather and I over this last season immensely, right? Where I'm a pastor now at a church. I have my dream job. I love you, Summerside. I can't believe that I get paid to do what I do. I'm thankful for that. I own a house. Well, the bank and I kind of share ownership. They let me stay there. I can honestly go to the grocery store and buy meat that's not on clearance because it's almost rancid, and come home and I feel like a king, right? To my joy, we have 3 beautiful children. I am thankful for all of this. And God doesn't always provide and answer everything that we long for. That's not the moral of the story here. Okay? Here's the moral of the story. In the valley, Heather and I grew. When everything turned around for us, I can speak for myself. There was a season in which my dependency, my desperation for God, my hunger for His Word was dry. I was up on the mountaintop and I was being forgetful. And one of the biggest lessons that I've been learning over the past few years is how to grow in those areas of my life in which I'm on the mountaintop. Very rarely are you going to say, everything in my life, everything is perfect. But there will be seasons in which you make those accomplishments. When you get the new job, when you buy the new truck, when you get married, when you have children, where God's blessing is evident, and you are on the mountaintop in those specific areas. When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Continue in humility. Be consistent in worship. And celebrate. Celebrate God's goodness. Whether you're in the valley or you're on the mountaintop today, you need God. Everything that you have, every gift that you have been given, the very breath in your lungs is all His doing. Humble yourself. Recognize His grace in your life. And let that fuel your worship. When you're on the mountaintop, the view of God and His glory with a heart that is humble, that is consistent in worship, that is celebrating His goodness, that view is so much more transformative than sitting there and staring at your own pitiful little contributions to your present location. When you're on the mountaintop, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue in humility. Be consistent in your worship. And celebrate God's goodness. Now let me pray. Father, I confess that I see this tendency in my own life in which when things are going well, I have this sense of independence, or perhaps a lessened sense of dependence on You. And God, that is abject folly. Apart from the resurrected Christ who died for our sins, we have no hope because You did what we could never do in dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead. So I pray for my own heart that I would grow this season in my humility, in my worship, and in my thankfulness and celebration at Your goodness. And God, for Summerside, for Chelsea Green, for those of us who are gathered, who are watching here today, who would say, I am on the mountaintop in these certain and these specific areas of my life. Would those not be hurdles that we have to overcome or snares that are going to trip us up? But would that be fuel in our worship? Would that give us cause to celebrate You and Your goodness? God, wherever the people of Summerside, of Chelsea Green are killing it, would You help those not to be the temptations that Satan uses to work for our destruction? But God, that those would be the areas that You use to draw our hearts even closer to You and to shape us into conformity to Christ. We desperately need You. Whether we're in the valley or we're on the mountaintop, we don't want to stop. We want to grow in You and bring You the glory that You deserve. We pray all of this in Your name. Amen.